1 Peter chapter 3 this morning. 1 Peter chapter 3. My sister-in-law, Becky Everhart, recently went on a short-term missions trip to India. And as they were there ministering in different churches and different venues, came time to come home. They were in the airport, ready to board. The authorities came by, confiscated their passports and their boarding passes. They said that they would need a visa to leave the country. They were confused and miserable over the whole thing, of course. They got together with their pastor friends there from India, and they started making appeals to officials there in the country. That's when they were told that they would need proof that they had exited Nepal legally. They needed some kind of paperwork. So one of the pastors took off on an 8-hour one-way drive to Nepal to find said paperwork, which apparently does not exist. They appealed to the American embassy there in India, and the officials there told them, well, they haven't put you in prison. Nobody's been injured. Just do whatever they tell you to do. Well, here we are at home. We're praying for them, and we're kind of appalled that U.S. citizens can be treated this way around the world and that the government wasn't a little bit more helpful in their release and so on. They were told there that the Indian government takes terrorism very seriously, and they patrol their borders very closely. That's why this is happening. But dawned on us, they were allowed into the country. They just weren't allowed out of the country. What are the goings on here? Well, the pastors there told them they were actually fortunate that they weren't arrested, because Christians are treated that way all the time there under that regime. You know, I don't know if you're like me, but I am very easily inconvenienced. I get to the grocery. I was at CVS just yesterday and trying to get through the line, and I finally got, it was my turn. Oh, we can't help you here. You got to go up front for that. I got up front, and this lady, she had a cart full of stuff, and she wanted everything rung up separately. I don't know if she was shopping for her neighborhood or what. So there's a kiosk that's open. I went to the kiosk. The kiosk wouldn't do for me what I needed done at CVS. And so the guy came over and explained to me, I'll just have to wait in line patiently until. Another one of my pet peeves in life is school buses, when I'm on my way to work. And, you know, all these things. Life is so hard. Well, it's so hard. I've got to wait again, and difficult, and, you know. But if we happen to be a Christian in another country, these things would be the least of our worries. The government actually works at frustrating Christians. As if government isn't frustrating enough naturally, they put a little black mark by your name, and you're the last one to get groceries if there are enough groceries. You're the last one who's going to hear their court case. You're the last one that's going to get a permit to build or anything else that goes on. And yet, we find the church is growing in those countries. How is that happening? What is going on in all these places? Well, it was just such a church that Peter wrote to back in the day. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Father, we want your attentive ear. We want your compassionate eyes. We don't want you to set against us at all. So we yield to what you want us to be. We know what we are, but we know what we should be also. Help us to be more and more and more like you as we live in this world, so that we're prepared to see you in the next. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Peter is writing to brothers and sisters of his scattered throughout the Roman Empire and beyond. And by the time he writes this letter, persecution of Christians is in full swing. Everybody hates Christians. The Jews can't stand the Christians because they think they're heretics, and so they're beaten up on them. The Romans hate the Jews because they're separatists. They're not blending with everybody else. They won't worship their gods, so on and so forth. And the Romans see the Christians as a sect of Judaism. So the Christians are really on the bottom of the pile. The Jews are piling on. The Romans are piling up on top of that. And it's just a difficult season, a difficult world to be a Christian in. And these things are all stacking up. 1 Peter was written somewhere around 60 to 64 A.D. Paul was beheaded somewhere 64, 65 A.D. So this letter gets out into circulation just before the great apostle Paul is taken off the scene. Can you imagine what a gut punch that was to the church? His letters of encouragement, his ministry all around the world. And then Peter himself is crucified June the 29th, 67 A.D. The letter is just really getting circulated as this apostle is taken off of the scene. And then the temple is destroyed in Jerusalem. The Romans went in and leveled Jerusalem, killed everybody in sight, carried off a few people as slaves, and so on. The nation of Israel ceased to be as a nation AD 70. You might have read of some held out for a little while, but massacres continued, all that kind of stuff. So this is a tremendously rough season for people of faith. And they're hanging on. This letter comes out just in time. And the theme of both letters that Peter wrote is don't be surprised by unjust suffering. This is life as a Christian. You can expect it. You're looking to God. Life in this world is going to be really, really, really hard. And then they take the author of that letter and they crucify him upside down. So, case in point, you will have trouble in this world. That's what Jesus said. And we need to adjust. See, our thinking has been tainted in American churches. We've been tainted to think happy, happy, joy, joy, 24/7. Divine health. We're never sick. We're never weary. You know, everything's always good. Everything that happens to us is good. And these words almost sound foreign to us. I would suspect that there have even been some Bible teachers that have questioned Peter's faith. What do you mean, bad stuff? If you'd have had more faith. That's a dangerous place to go when you're questioning what the Word has to say and what the apostles themselves and what Jesus himself experienced. The persecution that went on. And we need to get a heavenly mindset. Not that bad stuff will never happen, because if that's our expectation, when bad stuff happens, we question everything that we believe. You know, why is this happening? Don't you love me, God? Don't you care about me? But if we're expecting it, in fact, what we're studying today, the Word is expecting us to expect bad stuff and be happy nonetheless. To be at peace, to have joy, regardless of the circumstances coming our way. And God is gracious enough to allow bad circumstance after bad circumstance to come so we get practice at this stuff. How many have had enough trouble this week? There's been enough. Okay, some of you haven't. We'll pray for you this week. Maybe you can have enough to make up for last week and this week as well. But we're learning how to surf the waves. At first, we just get a mouthful of salt water and sand in our shorts and go, I don't like doing this. But you don't get a choice in life. The waves are going to keep coming. Say, well, I think I'll go to the mountain. No, the mountain, they'll find you in the mountains too. So you learn how to surf a little bit better and a little bit better until people are saying, well, how did you do that? I can't believe this is your response when all that stuff's going on. Well, it's not natural. It's supernatural, this reaction that we're supposed to have. I heard a teaching on heaven and hell recently that really changed my perspective on things. And I thought they really opened up my eyes a little bit wider. They said that many have already started on their career in hell. We're talking about eternal life. Some people will spend their eternity in hell, and some of us will spend our eternity in heaven. And that already began. Eternal life. When did our eternal life begin? Well, really, when our life began. That was the start. Conception, and then on from there. And you've heard people say things like, well, this is a living hell. Or this is hell on earth. And you know they're speaking the truth. All that frustration and sickness and misery and everything else, we weren't intended to live that way. It wasn't that way in the garden. This all came because of sin. And whether we're born again or not, we have the consequences of that in our life. And but the sad thing is, for those who are headed to hell, this is just the precursor. This is just kindergarten hell. Boy, the real bad stuff comes after this. You don't want to go there. And we should experience enough frustration and everything else that we know, man, it might be bad now, but it's a whole lot worse than I want to go different direction. So a few have already begun their eternity with Christ. And Christ takes us by the hand and he says, now I'm not taking you out of the world, but I'm going to take you through it. And when you walk with me, you walk a little different than everybody else. We're not going to whine and cry and be afraid and fall apart. In fact, as you know, the most often given command in all of Scripture is, do not be afraid. You know, he says, don't be afraid. Don't be anxious for anything. Don't be discouraged. You know, now we have seasons of that, of course. But we learn as we go through those to walk a little higher. And hopefully by now, the things that used to rock your boat in your life no longer even cause a little ripple. You've learned to walk a little higher. You've learned to be a little steadier, a little calmer through the seasons of life. But then the storms get bigger. And please, I'm not asking you to live as a plastic Christian. I've known some plastic Christians. They paste a smile on their face. They act like they're happy. They act like they're full of joy. And they're completely miserable. And they're some of the most lonely people on the face of the earth because they don't think they can be honest with their brothers and sisters in Christ. They expect a good report all the time. You know, oh, well, if you had enough faith, you would be healed. If you had No. Nobody expects you to be giddy the day after your dog dies. Nobody expects you to be dancing if your knee got broken. You know, life happens. And it's all right to take the hit, but then to rise above. Jesus Christ himself, what happened to him in the Garden of Gethsemane? He sweat great drops of blood. The pain, the agony, the weight of what he was going through was so excruciating that, you know, they give you a medical, he was under tremendous stress. He kept asking his disciples, can't you pray with me for a little while? I mean, Jesus himself said, hey, guys, I could use you for a little while. Can't you walk with me through this thing? The angels came and attended to him. Nobody expects you to be happy in Gethsemane. But the Bible also says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He had his mind right. He was able to endure it and go through it because he had been over the waves before and he knew this one too, the Father was going to see him through and he would come out victorious. And you and I, as we go through this life, we're supposed to look a little bit more like a citizen of heaven than a citizen of hell. It's supposed to get a little brighter. We're we're to be a little better at those darts that come from the enemy. So we need to be applying heavenly emotions to our experience now. There is a natural way of responding. Your family had a way about them. Your family might have been loud. Your family might have been rude. Your family might like to rank on everybody else. Your family might just be angry. And so you bust off every once in a while and you feel better afterwards, but everybody else is just kind of laid out there, you know. You got to compare who you are and how you've responded to the way the Lord would have us to respond. He said, bless and do not curse. Bless those who curse you. Bless and do not curse. You know, do good to those who despitefully use you. Is that your natural way? Is that the first thing that comes to your mind? Wow, that guy hit me in the parking lot and took off. I got to find him and send him flowers. I'm going to buy him dinner. Huh? No, but you see, the kingdom is different than the world. And we want to live according to kingdom principles. So you got to train yourself. You're in training right now. Other people will try to help, but you have to receive the training. You have to want the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And then you want to be obedient to it. When Tucker and I are taking a walk around the neighborhood, Tucker's my little Yorkie. He's just over a year old now, and he's learning great. He's a great little dog. He's been coming along just fine. But there's this one thing that he does that's still quite irritating. Every once in a while, when a vehicle goes past, he'll go charging out into the street. And I'll yank him back, and I'll say, no, we do not chase cars. No, we do not chase trucks. No, we do not chase bikes. No, we do not chase skateboarders. He just, Now, 10 cars can go past, not a thing. And then all of a sudden, the right one comes by. He's out there. Oh, one of these days, he's going to slip out of my hands. Yikes. I train him before he kills himself. And that's the way it is in the spirit. No, Joel, we don't use those words. No, Joel, we don't respond like that. No, Joel, we don't carry an attitude like that. No, Joel, you're not allowed to get bitter. And, Yes, Holy Spirit. Yes, Holy Spirit. Yes, Holy Spirit. Until we can walk smoothly right alongside the Lord and not jerking him and him not jerking us. And be the people that God is calling us to be. So we need to train our flesh how a believer responds to the stimuli of this world. Now, what am I supposed to do? Well, if my enemy's hungry, I'm to feed him. Hey, you like stuffed shells? Huh? What am I supposed to do? Well, they curse me. I'm to, well, bless you. You look nice today. Train your flesh. I want to be so ready for heaven, it's a smooth transition. Walk right in and be a part of it all. This world isn't heaven. There's some nice things about this world. There's some great things about this world. I believe that when we get to heaven, for those of us who know Christ, although we don't know a lot about what's going to be like this yet, I believe it's going to feel so much like home to us. We will know immediately, I was born for this. I can't believe it took me so long to get here. This is wonderful. I can't believe I fought this for so long. This is tremendous. I want to be like that before I get there. I want to live in the joy and in the peace, in the confidence, the hope, the faith that God gives me. You get bad news, you apply scripture to it. You put your faith in knowing that God will bring about good even out of the worst of conditions. Respond godly to the stimuli of this world. We sing a song, Sweeter as the Days Go By. I hope God can sing that over us. I hope he could say to Gabriel and Michael and the other angels, yeah, I know he's rough, but I'm working on him. He's not as bad as he used to be, is he? Well, yeah. Well, wait till I'm done with him. You're going to be a real sweetheart of a guy by the time we're through with this whole thing. Be cooperative in that training. Verse 13. Who's going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. It's unnatural to be eager to be good to people who are harming you. It's supernatural. It's the nature of God. It's the nature of God to be good to people who are being jerks. Isn't that an amazing nature? Aren't you glad that God is like that? Has anybody here ever acted like a jerk? Aren't you glad that it's God's nature to be kind and patient and long-suffering toward those who are being ignorant to him? If we had the power of God and people acted like we have acted sometimes, they wouldn't be around anymore. But God gives us his nature. How do I know I'm a child of God? My desires change. My responses change. When I act out of sorts, I feel a conviction about that. I don't feel satisfied or justified. Well, of course I responded like that. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't anybody? Well, no, not the Lord. We should be eager to do good even to those who wrong us. Why were you so nice to that guy? How can you respond that way? Anybody ever say that to you? Don't you remember what they did to you? Huh? It's Christ living in me. That's what they're really saying to you is, you know, you're looking more and more like your father every day. I see the resemblance in you. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. The world rages. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. God is with you. He will protect you. He will bring you through, and you will be glad for all that he did in and through you as you've navigated those waves that keep coming, that keep hitting. And Peter knew what he was talking about. Did Peter ever suffer? He was put in prison, wasn't he? Remember the time they chained him between four guards? And in the middle of the night, the angel had to hit him to wake him up. He said, He thought he was sleeping. He thought he was having a dream. And then he was out, found himself out on the street. He was released from prison by the Lord himself. He was beaten for his faith. And he went back and told the church, "Woohoo! Well, I've been counted worthy to suffer for Jesus. This is great." Is that normal? No, that's supernatural. And the same spirit that lived in the apostles now lives in us. We may not have a chance to demonstrate it yet. We haven't been arrested. We haven't gone to jail. We haven't been beaten. But you don't have to be afraid of it. You don't have to worry about it. His grace is sufficient for us. And if that's what we face, he'll give us a joy to go through it. Those apostles came back rejoicing that they had been counted worthy to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't cooperate with the world. The world is trying to disturb you. Our goal is to become unoffendable, undisturbable. School buses and everything, they're just put there to train us for when the bad stuff comes. Make it your goal to thank God in every circumstance and to lift him up. I had a friend in high school, his name was Tom. And old Tom was a skinny little fella, and the bullies loved to pick on Tom. Tom would light up like a Christmas tree whenever they started. He would get bright red. He would get really angry. He would start flailing his little fists, and they would be holding him on the forehead, just laughing at him, you know, and then they'd get him down on the ground. And it wasn't good. And we would keep saying, Tom, just when they make fun of you, laugh along with them. They love seeing you upset. That's why they're doing this. They're not picking on the rest of us because we're just going along to get along to survive high school. How many survived high school or are surviving it right now? And yeah, but Tom was just like, and the devil loves to pick on pickable people. And if you're going to get depressed every time, oh boy, he's just having a field day. But if you start worshiping God in the middle of your valley, that's like, you know, scratching your fingernails on the chalkboard to the devil. Ah! You know, God receives the praise through it all. He puts a bad thought in your mind. Are you sure the Lord loves you? And then you remember a verse and you start thinking all the ways God loved you. You start in this little praise rally. He goes, wee, all the way home. He's discouraged over that. You need to become unoffendable and filled with the joy that only comes from God. As we began this series, as we began into the season of Lent, we took a little bit of a test together. And question number three was, or statement number three, on a scale from 1 to 10, where 10 is being joyful and 1 is being depressed, where are you emotionally right now? And all we're looking for is an honest answer. Well, this is where I'm at. And then we're going to ask God to help us to move up the scale into the joy of the Lord. And it's not circumstance specific. Lord, I want to learn, regardless of the circumstance, how to have your joy in my life. I want to learn to be at peace, regardless of what's going on around me. I want the joy, the peace, the calm, the patience of the Holy Spirit inside of me. And God, by His grace, will allow the waves to come. And they will hit, and they will hit, and they will hit until we learn how to surf. Well, I don't like the waves. There's salt water in my mouth, sand in my shorts. Learn how to surf then. Learn how to surf. No, make the waves go away. God ever do that for you? Well, sometimes He does, I suppose, but usually not. Now I'm teaching you how to surf here. So you're going to learn how it's done. And so we begin to cooperate with the Lord in all these things. Again, when I'm walking my dog, especially through the wintertime, there'll be a sunny side of the street and there'll be a shady side of the street. And I'll tell Tiger, let's go walk on the sunny side of the street. In life, there are always bad things that are happening and the Lord is always good. And we decide where we're going to walk in any given day. You know what, I'm just going to grumble and complain my way through this. Life stinks, I'm going to eat worms and die. Or, you know what? I'm going to look into the Word of God. I'm going to trust Him that His promises are true. I'm going to see what He's doing in this season. I'm going to walk in the sunshine. It makes a difference. When it's chilly outside and you can get a little sunshine on your face, it makes quite a difference. So walk in the sunshine of God. Choose that as your venue. Does darkness and gloom fill the room whenever you enter? Or are you the representative of the joy of the Lord wherever you go? Verses 15 and 16. But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. I looked this up in a couple different versions. They were helpful to me. Maybe they'll be helpful to you. First of all, the Message Bible. If with heart and soul you're doing good, do you think you can be stopped? Even if you suffer for it, you're still better off. Don't give the opposition a second thought. Through thick and thin, keep your hearts at attention in adoration before Christ your Master. Be ready to speak up and tell anyone who asks why you're living the way you are, and always with the utmost courtesy. Keep a clear conscience. This is good here. Keep a clear conscience before God so that when people throw mud at you, none of it will stick. They'll end up realizing they're the ones that need a bath. It's better to suffer for doing good, if that's God, what God wants, than to be punished for doing bad. That's what Christ did definitively. Suffered because of others' sins, the righteous one for the unrighteous ones. He went through it all, was put to death, and then made alive to bring us to God. And then the Phillips translation reads, "After all, who in the ordinary way is likely to injure you for being enthusiastic for good? And if it should happen that you suffer for righteousness' sake, that's a privilege. You need neither fear their threats nor worry about them. Simply concentrate on being completely devoted to Christ in your hearts. Be ready at any time to give a quiet and reverent answer to any man who wants a reason for the hope that you have within you. Make sure that your conscience is perfectly clear, so that if men should speak slanderously of you as rogues, they may come to feel ashamed of themselves for libeling your good Christian behavior." You see what's going on there? The world gets worse, we get better. The world gets harder, we get lighter. This is the will of God for our lives. We need to stop complaining about all of the trouble in our lives and start concentrating on how can I get higher over this? How can I become an overcomer to what's going on right now? We keep holding our breath. As soon as this is over, it'll be better and we'll be fine. Chances are the trials are going to get harder as we go along. But the joy is supposed to increase. Where sin abounds, grace does that much more abound. Not necessarily our sin, but the world's sin. As sin increases, grace will increase as well. And we should be walking in grace, not in the disturbances of the world. Let your hope be so evident that others ask you about it. Is that happening? Or are you the best complainer in your section? Do you have bad news all the time? Hey, did you hear what they did now? Change your behavior. Change your character. Be a ray of sunshine wherever you go. It'll confuse the heck out of the enemy. Would you stand with me this morning, sweeter? Every day with you, Lord.
Sweeter than the day before, every morning now.
Don't get that wrong. Not every day is better. You know, stuff's still going to happen. But it can be sweeter. If we're in the right mindset, if we've got the Holy Spirit, if we're learning and being trained correctly, then we will respond better as time goes on. Father, I know that some of my brothers and sisters are going through the trials of their life. Never thought it would be this hard. But Lord, where sin abounds, where trouble abounds, their grace does that much more abound. We pray for another installment, Lord, for knowledge or wisdom or grace to be portioned to us today, that we can walk as you want us to walk, that we can walk in that fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, meekness, gentleness, faith, self-control, that you will be pleased with us and we will be pleased with you. We hear the testimonies, Lord, ladies like Fanny Crosby, who was blind and yet wrote so many hymns of the church, people who rejoice in you under difficult circumstances. How did they endure this? How did they go through that? How was it that Paul and Silas were able to sing when they were beaten and locked in stocks? Well, humanly speaking, no, but it's supernatural. And if we are born again of the Spirit, help us to live more according to the Spirit than we've ever done before. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen.